Our first scripture reading for today is the Psalm 122. And let us read it responsively. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our ending within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. Congregation, please rise. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Kind of like the last few weeks, we've had long gospel lessons, so I'm going to let you sit down so that you can focus more on the lesson rather than your legs getting tired. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and a holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask of me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Kids, if there's any kids that would like to come up for a children's time, maybe, maybe not. Maybe you heard about what happened last night. All right. How are you guys doing? Did you make it through the snow okay? Yep. Yep. Did you shovel any snow this morning? No. No. Somebody else shoveled for you? No. You just drove right through it? Yep. That sounds good. All right. So I've got a question for you. Have you any of you ever gone on a trip? Gone on a trip? What kind of things do you pack to take on a trip? Your suitcase. What do you put in your suitcase?
My clothes.
Your clothes? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Toothbrushes, toothpaste, stuff like that. Okay, what else might we take along? Food and water. Food and water, yep. Some toys to play with, yep. So who carries your suitcase for you? Do you guys carry it yourself? Or does somebody else carry it?
I carry it myself.
You carry it yourself, yep.
I carry it by myself.
You carry it by yourself too? All right. So in the lesson today, Jesus was talking about his disciples, and he was telling them to pack light. Do you suppose it makes a difference if we pack light or pack heavy? Do you think it makes any difference? Should we try to demonstrate that? I need a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? Okay, you're a pretty strong volunteer, so we'll see how it goes. Okay, so you come over here. Okay, we'll do it two ways, okay? I'm going to have first we're going to time running down to the blue stripe. We're going to have you wait though. So, you go first, all right? Ready? 1,000 okay. Come back. Ready, go. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. So 1,003. You ready to run down there to him? Okay, we'll time you. Ready, set, go. Run down there. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Good job. All right. Now what we're going to do is give you some luggage. Not too bad, right? Okay, now we're gonna time you running down. Carter, you wait, okay? So what was it, 3 seconds last time? All right, on your mark, get set, go. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,000. So a little bit longer. Okay, now bring it back, because I don't want to carry that heavy thing back. Okay, Carter, do you think you can carry that? No? That's kind of heavy, isn't it? Should we just not do it? Yeah, let's not do it. I'll carry it for you and we'll go down, all right? 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. Same. All right. So, let's sit back down. So, Jesus told his disciples to pack light so that they could be to go to the places that they needed to, and so that they would be ready to help people. And so sometimes we have to give up some things so that we can travel light, and so that we can be able to tell others about Jesus. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for helping us and helping us by taking the load that we bear. Help us to always love you and to love others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, thanks for coming up. Thanks for doing the race.
so. God loves me so. God loves me so. God's so good to me.
All right. Thank you, Kari. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So this story of, the three stories really, the middle story especially, got me thinking about journeys. And that's the one that we're going to focus on the most. The disciples going out, Jesus telling them to go out without very much stuff. And so it reminded me of a journey that I went on. And that was in 2015, and some of you know that I hiked Mount Whitney. And so it was a 22 miles round trip. And as I was getting ready for that, I wanted to learn a little bit more about what hiking in that area was about. And there was a book that was written by Cheryl Strand. She was a young woman at the time, I think in her mid-20s, when she hiked the Pacific Crest Trail. Now, some of the trail going up Mount Whitney is part of that Pacific Crest Trail. And so, reading her book, I wanted to find out a little bit more what hiking and what that trip might be like. Obviously, hers was very different because she traveled 1,100 miles over, I think it was 3 or 4 months. But the part that stuck in my mind that I think fits for today is, first of all, she found a book about the trail, and she thought, you know, this would be a good trip for me, because she had recently, her mother had passed away, so she was grieving the loss of her mother. I believe she had been recently divorced. She had kind of a lot of bad things going on in her life, trying to find who she was, and so she needed to, in a sense, go on a pilgrimage, go on a trip to find out who she was and help better understand her place in life. And so she got this book and read the book and found all the things that she needed to take along, and she bought a backpack, and she was in her hotel room the night before, ready to go on her trip, and she set the backpack out, and it was a different kind of backpack than mine. It would be one that was much taller, and I believe would kind of set on your hips, and it had some bracing in it and would be taller, and it would hold a lot more things. And she had her tent that she was bringing along, and she had a little stove to cook her food in there. She had a pick, and she had a little shovel, and she brought some books along, and she had some food in there. Just so you know, when you go from point to point, there are post offices where you mail previously supplies that you would need. So you mail food to this one, and so when you get to that one, if you've made it in time, you'll just run out of food to get a new section of food. So you don't have to carry 3 months' worth of food. But she had a lot of things that she was putting in that backpack. She wanted to read some books that her and her mother had talked about, and so she brought those along for those down times on the trip. And she packed her backpack full, and kind of like Carter, she looked at it and went, I can't pick that up. It was too heavy. And she didn't know quite for sure what she was going to do, and then an idea came to her, and she had it sitting on the floor, and she got down and she sat on the floor and put the straps on her back, tightened it up, and then I think she was able to roll over somehow or lean forward and was able then to stand up. It's an unbelievably heavy load to carry. And she hiked the first section of her trip with that much stuff in it, I believe. And the further she went, the more she got rid of. She decided she didn't need the books, and especially if she read them, she'd burn the books. Little by little, the backpack got lighter, and through the trip, she got stronger and stronger. And that trip really changed her life. It helped her to meet new people. It helped her to understand who she was. really depending upon herself and the goodness of others to help her out. And so as I think about the trip that the disciples went on, Jesus comes to them and says, guess what, guys? I'm sending you out. This is going to be fun. You're going to go out, and I'm going to give you some things to do, but you're going to go out with a staff, your sandals, and one robe. No money, no food, nothing extra. And it makes me wonder how many of us could do that. It's scary because we want to be in control. Friday night, we went out to eat. And at the place that we went out to eat at, I left my credit card. And so yesterday, I was driving around, and I didn't have my credit card. And it was like, okay, I hope I have enough cash so that I can buy anything that I need to buy. Just not having the credit card made me feel a little bit out of control, just in case there was something that I needed. The disciples had nothing in their control except the power of Jesus with them. And they go out and they proclaim. They proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. They proclaim God's forgiveness. They cast out demons. They heal people. But I'm also guessing that they ran into some struggles and some trials along the way. Because Jesus talked to them about what they would do when they're rejected in a town. And I find it interesting because Jesus said, when you go to a town and they don't welcome you, what are you supposed to do? I'm not going to take my shoe off, but you're supposed to knock the dust off of your feet. Seems like it would be a little bit odd, especially for us to today. But I went back and I looked at what they would do in that time frame. If a Jewish person went to a Gentile town, they would make sure that they dusted off that unclean dust. You want that on your feet, that unclean dust. So it could have been that they were dusting off the unclean part of that town. The thing was that they were going to Jewish villages. So maybe it was something else. As I thought about it more, one of the things that came to my mind was, what would happen to them in those towns that they weren't welcomed? What kind of reception did they probably get? The story last week talked about the swineherd and his town, and during that time Jesus shows up. The 2,000 head of hogs runs into the sea, and the people drive Jesus away. They tell him, "We don't want you here." And I think about some of the words and the things that would have been said and the frustrations that the disciples would have held. So today, during this point, think a little bit about what you would maybe feel if you were in a town and you were pushed out, if you were not welcome there anymore. And as you are one of the disciples. And so in that backpack that you might be carrying, it might be that Jesus wanted them to leave some things behind also. You know, if they were going there and they didn't have any food, but they saw a feast going on, the disciples would maybe have some envy. It's possible that the disciples would have felt fear. I don't know if they would have run them out with pitchforks or things like that, but those would have been potentially a scary time. The disciples might have had to have dealt with some pride, that we're better than this. The disciples maybe felt some hate towards the people of those towns that didn't accept them. Maybe in their hate, they said things, responded to people about the way that they had been treated. Maybe there was guilt that they had, that they didn't do things the right way. Disciples probably had some anger. And all those things could have caused them to sin, to have done things that they shouldn't have done, thought things that they shouldn't have done. And had the disciples maybe not been able to forgive, not been able to let those things go, they would have started picking up things on their journey that would have weighed them down, that would have kept them from being able to share the good news. I think about that last story that we have about King Herod and what things he might have had going on for him and in that story. Now we had King Herod liked to listen to John, but I think he probably had some anger with John over the frustration of him telling him that he shouldn't be married to Herodias. He maybe feared him, that his treatment of John might create some type of retribution. You have Herodias maybe having envy, again, hate. Maybe there's pride there that I'm better than this. When we look at that story of John the Baptist and Herod and his wife and what happened there, the burden of those things shaped the way that that story ended up. So today, as we think about our lives, what are the burdens that we have? What are the things that we are carrying around that make our journey heavy? Jesus says that his burden is light, that his yoke is easy. When we think about the disciples turning everything over to Jesus, turning over all of that control and saying, okay, God, okay, Jesus, I'm heading out. I'm going to trust you. It becomes a challenge to give up the control that we so want to have. But Christ does bring us forgiveness. Christ does bring the healing that we need. And as we give up some of the weight that we have in our lives, as Christ takes that from us, we can experience joy. We can understand that hope that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. For Jesus takes our burdens, takes them and carries them for us. In Jesus' name, amen.